Mr. Speaker, I rise in unequivocal support of the Appropriation Bill 2006. Mr. Speaker, today we can talk about recovery and expansion. Only about 5 years ago, Mr. Speaker, we were in severe recession. Our skeptics had a field day. They said we couldn't manage the economy. They said we couldn't last. They gave us time limits by which we should vacate office. They didn't dream, Mr. Speaker, that this government was sound managers. They didn't anticipate where we could have arrived at. And Mr. Speaker, something sounds good to the ear. Some things need emphasizing, Mr. Speaker. Some things need repeating. And I will repeat the first paragraph of the budget, of the Prime Minister's budget speech. Following the severe recession in 2001, St. Lucia's economy has grown from strength to strength. In 2002, real GDP grew, albeit marginally, by 0.5% as the economy emerged out of the deep recession. Since then, the growth rate has picked up strongly, moving from 3.1% in 2003 to 4% in 2004 and now to 5.4% in 2005. This momentum is expected to continue, and barring any natural disasters, a growth of 6.6% is projected in 2006. That is not an accident. Mr. Speaker, it is the outcome of the sound economic policies that this government has pursued. Mr. Speaker, I repeat the introduction because I love it. I love the truth, Mr. Speaker. Who would have thought that with such sound management, our economy would grow neatly and gradually to reach to this stage where we can now say, welcome to the billion-dollar economy. Yes, Mr. Speaker, it is a billion-dollar economy. Yes, Mr. Speaker, and tourism, construction, and manufacturing has led that economy. Questions have been asked. Who has benefited? Who has benefited? We've heard it said today. We've heard it said yesterday. We've heard it said in various places. One group of persons benefit, others don't. But, Mr. Speaker, the amount of economists is very, very simple. You know, we build hotels, tourism expands, we build houses, you know. We need construction, more people work. Last year, construction added 2,500 jobs. Hotels and restaurants added 3,500. Who are those workers? Well, they're not our ordinary citizens. Who benefited? Are we going to tell our constituents now, don't worry, you have a job, you don't benefit? Mr. Speaker, we have done well, and we have to continue to boast it, because the momentum will continue. And we, as a government, must ensure this, and must ensure our people understand why we have added so many workers, Mr. Speaker. We have now moved to a position where we say they must now begin to earn a minimum wage. And when I said inflation is not just an effect, we will ensure that they begin to earn at least $55 for their daily work. More skilled persons will earn more, but that will be the minimum. Mr. Speaker, that is progress, whether we like it or not. Our detractors understand it, they know it, but they are afraid to admit it. Today, Mr. Speaker, we worry about overheating. You know, Mr. Speaker, it's like a car, you know. You drive your car, you keep your radiator warm, even hot. But when it gets too hot, you put your car in trouble. And we now understand that, and we're driving our car responsibly. This driver, Mr. Speaker, can drive. Yes, Mr. Speaker, with so much activity, unemployment has fallen. Interestingly, Mr. Speaker, today, while we do not say that we are satisfied with the level of unemployment, or that we won't work harder to ensure it falls lower, but the fact remains that the employment level today, or the unemployment level today, is as it was in the heyday of bananas. In 1992, when bananas was at its best, unemployment was about 15%, just as it is now. So those persons who talk about killing bananas, and by extension, killing the country, must think again. Yes, must think again. Because we have managed our economy so efficiently that we have been able to ensure that the employment level in this country did not suffer as a result of that transition from bananas to tourism. Mr. Speaker, no less an institution than the International Monetary Fund has praised that ability. And again, I want to quote from the budget speech that the Minister of Finance delivered. Directors, that is of the IMF, welcomed the recent strong growth performance of St. Lucia's economy, with a recovery in tourist arrivals and strong investment in tourism infrastructure, more than offsetting the continued decline in banana exports. Directors commended the authorities for their record of prudent public debt management, the best within the ECCU, and for the progress made in fiscal consolidation over the past 2 years. Mr. Speaker, these words did not come from Kelly Anthony, our most capable Minister of Finance. They did not come from Philip Yeh, a master of economics, wherever you look at it, however you look at it. They did not come from Walter Francois, as good an economic analyst as you can find. They did not come from people with bias towards this Labour Party, towards this government. They came from the International Monetary Fund. They came from a world-renowned organization. One which has had to analyze economies all over the world and report accordingly. So, Mr. Speaker, all this talk of killing bananas must stop. Because we did not kill bananas. We did not. What we did was took the constructive step of taking our country forward after previous administrations refused to accept that the future of bananas was in jeopardy and did not do what was necessary to ensure that the economy remained buoyant. That is why today they are surprised at the success that we have achieved. They are surprised that today we can boast of a $1 billion economy. Yes. I hope the new friends, Mr. Speaker, I see new friends around here. I hope they will abandon that old idea, that old banana idea. They have a duty to abandon it and understand the time which the no one and progress must continue in this beautiful country of ours. Mr. Speaker, this budget will remain one that the experts will admire. I listened to a very interesting discussion last night, Mr. Speaker. One that institutions need to see more often, you know. And one of the points that was happily made was that we were expecting an election budget. You know, the experts thought that we were to try, you know, to cook figures, to do things in order to win an election. They thought we would be offering goodies left, right, and center in order to make people vote for us. We could not do that. And to hear the experts say there was no suggestion of that, no evidence of that in the budget was particularly pleasing. You see, these four ideas that election come in, let's push something there, push something there, push something there quickly. That doesn't belong to us, you know why? You know, we believe in long-term planning. And we have the confidence that we will return to continue our progress. So that means, but given this quickly and given this you know, like the old story, put a call and put a quick video like, and come out and take it afterwards. Nobody can do that. Nobody can do that.
Is that really their plan?
Yes. Yeah, that's not really. You don't know. Yes, yes. Yes, Mr. Speaker. Yes, Mr. Speaker. That was the budget of a government with vision. That was the budget of a government that understood recovery, recognized recovery, and moved towards
I love this.
Tell you, Mr. Speaker. I have difficulty hearing myself for a while. Mr. Speaker, the introduction of universal health care has to be a positive development. How do you look at it? And I do not believe that any of the members over there, my friends over there, cannot say otherwise. You see, we got the high share of the yes. Interesting comment. See the comedy that comes to the house now, Mr. Speaker. Universal healthcare is predicated on the principles of social justice. No resident is left out. So the little old lady from Lamar, from Jasmine, from Esperance, who has a health problem, but has had to contend with it, they have to tolerate it, because all of us, all that kind of stuff. That person, a valued citizen of our country, now knows that under universal health care, when she goes to the doctor, money will not determine how well she is looked after or whether she is looked after. That, Mr. Speaker, is progress. And Mr. Speaker, let me define this program that precedes UHC. What's necessary? You see, any project manager will tell you when you're introducing projects like that, you have to test them, obviously. You see, all of us, Mr. Speaker, I am sure if I get a straw poll now, everybody will tell me, you know, about 10 to 20 people who have diabetes or hypertension or both. So the choice, Mr. Speaker, is well-founded. And Mr. Speaker, during the pilot project, we will discover, we will allow our people, many of whom suffer from hypertension and diabetes and do not know today, we will give them the opportunity to know the extent to which they're healthy. You know, Mr. Speaker, I watched the Miracle Eye program unfold. I didn't believe that so many of our people needed eye care. The member for South Africa told us, 10 out of 40 people on a weekly basis go into fever to get eye care. It told us how many people really suffered. And you know why, Mr. Speaker? They did not have to pay to find it out. You see, all of us don't have the kind of money we need to attend to our health problems. In the same way, the pilot program targeting diabetics and hypertensive people will allow us to know what we have. And of course, increase the productivity, all right, of our country. A healthy mind in a healthy body, a sound body, proper productivity. Mr. Speaker, as I say, the elderly people will benefit most because they are the ones who find it most difficult to meet their health commitments. And talking about the elderly, Mr. Speaker, we have shown again how much we care for older persons in our community. Yeah, we do care about the young. That's why we introduced new UHC, you know. And Mr. Speaker, the change, the new home for the elderly that we now speak about, the new state-of-the-art home for the elderly is one that is important, that is necessary, one that should have been here already. You know, we want to get away from that field where people talk about long time power. And when they say, in a way to suggest some old place where people have to keep them, hide them away, take them away from the public where nobody can see them because something is wrong with them. You see, when we have this state-of-the-art elderly home, Mr. Speaker, we'll be able to care for our elderly in a more structured manner, in a manner that befits allowing them to see themselves as useful members of our society. The elderly, Mr. Speaker, all right, are the source of our source of knowledge. We must learn to use the experience. I have had the experience of sitting down and talking to elderly persons and marvel at the information that we can get out of them. If they're in comfortable surroundings, in an environment conducive to telling their stories, Mr. Speaker, we will learn a lot more from them. And Mr. Speaker, we must commend that. And of course, having removed them and replacing and rebuilding Supreme by putting in a project that will benefit not only the people of Supreme, but the people of Chazelle too, and all over the island. But I say Chazelle and Supreme primarily because Chazellians, close enough to Supreme, many of them find employment in Supreme. And we look forward to that new project to add to the employment, or to rescue the employment, if you like, in the constituency of Chazelle. I'm particularly interested too, Mr. Speaker, in the provisions for urban renewal. Urban renewal must be a priority for every progressive government. Unplanned development, Mr. Speaker, intolerable social conditions is what obtains when you just allow people to live without carefully observing and carefully detailing and suggesting how developments should be allowed to move. Mr. Speaker, in any city, in any modern city, you'll hear talk of urban renewal. And this government, with its vision, has decided, one, to acquire land so as to regularize and plan developments in and around Car Street. So people, the people in Fulachoke, the people in Baradell, in Marsha, in Georgeville, and in all those areas that we consider, how did I call it? Bagatelle, yes. Thank you. Well-constructed water, and that lifts the quality of life. Mr. Speaker, this government is on the right track. This is a real budget. Nothing stopped up. Nothing convenient. Mr. Speaker, the efforts to minimize effects on oil prices cannot go unnoticed. I've heard it said that we're blaming oil for everything now. Prices go up and we blame oil. Mr. Speaker, we have to face reality. I believe the budget statement explained in much detail why prices go up and why the increase in oil prices are outside of our control. This is not difficult to understand. We all understand it. But the tax reductions and incentives that will allow for minimizing the effects of oil must be introduced and must be commendable. Mr. Speaker, everyone in this country, without exception, is concerned about crime. Crime is ever present in our society. And I dare say, some institutions, some persons even seem to live off it because they talk about it all the time. You know, it was interesting, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Deputy Speaker, that the day after the budget was delivered, you know, one television station had its headline, A crime was committed in Union. That was the headline. You know, the business of this country being discussed, that wasn't sufficiently important. I saw the second item was about firemen refusing to go to work. You know, and thirdly, the he spoke about the budget. Priorities. Priorities. You know, why is crime a priority? Well, it is a priority because it affects everybody's lives. And it's not to say you must not report, but you must understand that at various times, other things can take priority. You see, I believe some of them emphasize it as if to say that this government does nothing about crime. Absolute nonsense, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Deputy Speaker. Absolute nonsense. And this government, having put so much effort into crime prevention, having done so much for the police of our country, deserves better results. You know, listening to the talk shows, you get the impression that we don't care. But we do. And to demonstrate that care, we have decided to invest heavily in a forensic science laboratory and further to introduce automated fingerprinting system. All necessary elements in the fight against crime. Further, the government has decided to augment the force, or to add 7 experienced British policemen, or British ex-policemen to our force. I want to say a word on that, Mr. Speaker, probably more than a word. I have been approached since that announcement was made, not long, but, and I've been given stories of undermining our police force, not getting support from the police, etc. I want to say this. This country belongs to us. All of us. I repeat, all of us without exception. Worry about crime. Whether or not you support this government, you should able to be man and woman enough to say this government is making an effort to tackle and to decrease the crime in this country. So if you're a policeman and you find yourself having to work side by side with another policeman, albeit a foreigner, you have to recognize that you both are working in the interest of this country. It is not an accident or just a whim or fancy that makes someone say, government say, let's go for 7 British policemen. We recognize the experiences that those persons have been exposed to. We know that they can assist us. We expect the cooperation from St. Lucians generally, and from our police in particular. And we ought to demand it. And I have to say to the police or to anyone else involved that your duty is to support us in this venture. You see, Mr. Speaker, a 10% detection rate for robberies and burglaries is simply unacceptable. And anything we can do to increase that detection rate must be welcome. Mr. Speaker, for that reason, I will ask that we all welcome the British additions to our police force. Mr. Speaker, our youth agenda needs particular mention. 3.72 million dollars for national skills development. And Mr. Speaker, we may concentrate in the Carthage area initially, but all over the country, our youth who are among the most unemployed must take the opportunity to become skillful and to use those skills. You see, we can talk about being unemployed, we can talk about not getting a job, but before you can talk too much about that, you must train yourself. And that's one avenue is through the National Skills Development. Mr. Speaker, I'm charged with responsibility for the Ministry of Physical Development, Environment and Housing. Mr. Speaker, this is a ministry that is subject to a lot of pressure. Pressure from various sources. In physical planning, Mr. Speaker, in physical planning, there is always pressure from developers. And that's understandable, because we just spoke about the increase in construction and the number of projects, the number of houses being built. In physical planning, there are rules and regulations that must be obeyed, because, Mr. Speaker, we will be held responsible for the flaws that occur on our landscape and for the weakness that comes with poor planning and poor development plans. The Physical Planning Department has the responsibility that of vetting plans, making recommendations to the Development Control Authority, and the Development Control Authority approves those plans. Many times people will argue, my plans have been there for a long time, I don't know what these fellows are doing, they're not doing this and they're not doing that. The reality is, Mr. Speaker, that most plans are approved within a 3-week cycle. A minority of plans may not be. Probably because of the size of the project, a lot more needs to be done. And where plans come to the ministry with every requirement being met, there is no difficulty. But if your plan is defective in some way, then we cannot approve it and allow you to put up a defective building. That's the long and short of it. I believe we have a number of hard workers in the section, but I suspect that the negative image still lingers. I'm also sure the public of this country, Mr. Speaker, that in that section there are committed and dedicated workers who want to ensure that our country develops, and develops in keeping with accepted rules and accepted regulations. The section, however, received 1,182 applications this last year, compared with 1,112 in 2004-2005. Obviously, one of the reasons for the increased applications is the number of projects that come in because of World Cup cricket. Turning application fees increased from about 253,345 in 2004-2005 to 512,962 in 2005-2006. The residential extensions increased by 34% Floristic applications increased by 62%. And you know, 2,589 rooms were approved in 2005-2006, compared with 804 in 2004-2005, an increase of 69%. The section, therefore, Mr. Speaker, was very busy during this last year. Illegal developments continue to worry us. Trespassing on Crown property remains a challenge to the section, Mr. Speaker. And 47 matters were launched against such persons in the last year, and 15 convictions obtained. Mr. Speaker, we must impress on our institutions that just getting up one morning and deciding to put a house here or there does not assist the planning process. You know, you might see a beautiful piece of land over there, but there may well be plans for it. If you just go and put your house on it, you upset the whole plan. And when you're stubborn and don't want to remove, you delay progress. Mr. Speaker, it is about time we understand that development must be well planned, must be structured. One of the reasons we have to regularize and plan development is because we allowed, and not just this government, the previous administrations as well, allowed too much unplanned development to go too far. Mr. Speaker, our survey and mapping section is also a section under a lot of pressure. Again, more buildings, more construction work, more surveys necessary. A lot of work to be done. Besides, a number of big projects require surveys, which take a lot of time. And this year, the section completed about 15 surveys for various projects, including a large wind farm project at Poitikai, covering 79 acres of land. 627 new plans were lodged this year, and 490 mutations elsewhere. The section, Mr. Speaker, is a very busy one. A number of acquisitions had to take place. These included the Bosage U parking facility, the Rivadori Housing and Agricultural Development, acquisitions for the Grosley Highway widening, and rationalization at Farley. But Mr. Speaker, the section also is responsible for valuations. And valuations this year included valuations of the Barron's Drive properties, Castries and ancillary drainage sites, number of Queen's chain leases, and road acquisitions. Mr. Speaker, with the impending introduction of geographic information systems, this section, we anticipate, will increase its efficiency significantly in future. Mr. Speaker, the architectural section of the ministry continues to weave its way on our landscape. Much admirable work has come from that section. Designs seem to impress whenever they are produced. And the section has showed its work, Mr. Speaker, by renovating the High Court Registry, building the Grosley Comfort Station, the Interpol Daycare Center, the Nemo Health, warehouse, the Sustainable Development and Environment offices, and by renovating our own House of Assembly, the improvements we see here, Mr. Speaker, and the cool that we now experience are a result of the work of that section. The Sustainable Development and Environment section, Mr. Speaker, during the year, continued the work of monitoring our environment and recommending changes, practices, and policies. This year, in the energy push, they distributed 5,000 compact fluorescent bulbs to low-income households. They also produced a coastal zone management policy, and the guidelines were published and distributed in schools and other places. We also trained technicians in good management practices as regards ozone depleting substances. Last year, Mr. Speaker, thanks to their efforts, St. Lucia attained a 90% reduction in the consumption of CFCs. A national environment policy and a national environment management strategy was also approved. And there was a publication and distribution of land-based sources of marine pollution, a brochure that was distributed to schools and government agencies. Our land registry is now fully staffed. That was demonstrated in the increased revenue due to enforcement of fees for inspections and for registers. We hope too that the land registry will benefit from the geographic information systems, and plans are in place to bring a better computerized system into the registry in future. The housing section of the ministry, Mr. Speaker, this year produced a draft report on housing and resettlement. And this report will lead to the formulation of a national housing and resettlement policy. The housing section, Mr. Speaker, had housed the program for the rationalization of unplanned development. We are indeed proud of that program. We call it PROUD. That program can now boast over the last year of completion of rationalization in areas like Lakshmi in Beaufort, Pierre in Jodel, Rav in Poissart, Mbexo, Sarot, yes, Larry Foose, and a number of other areas, Mr. Speaker. PROUD will make a significant impression on our landscape, and it is PROUD that will be charged with the responsibility of the rationalization of central castries that I spoke of earlier. The housing section that is, Mr. Speaker, is also involved in the relocation of residents. The Conway residents, for example. And Mr. Speaker, I am sure the member for Broseley will approve of the 200 lots now available in Moshi for relocation of residents. this program also is concerned with relocation to the Crestland site in Supre and continues to work towards that end. All in all, Mr. Speaker, during the last year, the ministry has performed quite credibly. I spoke as minister, I don't want to show too much bias, but I believe, being at my most objective, I have to say, I was satisfied. Mr. Speaker, we are not complacent. There is a lot of room for improvement, but the constraints that we work under sometimes make it difficult to produce as we'd like to. We continue, however, to motivate our staff and to seek the resources necessary to bring about that change that will make us as efficient as our country deserves.
The Honourable Minister has 15 minutes to make his contribution.
Yes. I may not need any more. Mr. Speaker, I would not have been here had it not been for the people of Suzelle and of Saltibus. My presence is testimony to their foresight and to the confidence they have expressed in me in two elections since 1997. Mr. Speaker, I've taken this view. One, because I recognize an abundance of talent in Suzelle and Saltibus. And that I recognize, too, that service to one's country does not necessarily require a seat in Parliament. And that myself, I feel at my age, I do not have a lot more time to spread my wings elsewhere, so to speak. And so, Mr. Speaker, that desire to operate elsewhere and to allow other talented persons to represent my constituency means talented persons. We have a lot of them in Suzelle. Yes. We don't go begging for recycled persons all over the place. We see emerging talent. We recognize them and we use them, Mr. Speaker. And because of this, Mr. Speaker, I have decided that I shall no longer occupy the seat when a new parliament emerges after the next general election. In these circumstances, Mr. Speaker, there is a temptation to go beyond the year in review when one is reflecting on achievements. And, Mr. Speaker, I just crave your indulgence to take my constituents, if you like, just a step backwards and go beyond that. My constituents know me, Mr. Speaker. They know I'm not one for blowing my own trumpet and boasting about achievements. They know that when we meet them, particularly on a one-to-one level, we talk frankly about possibilities and achievements. But sometimes, Mr. Speaker, it is necessary to remind some of us about where we've come from and where we are now because of the good work of this government. Mr. Speaker, before 1997, if one had a tour of Suzelle, you would notice a number of amenities that was lacking. And I remember questions being put to me a number of times in those early days. What are you going to do? my general response normally was, if before I leave, we can all say we have the basic necessities, I'd be happy. You see, Mr. Speaker, and Mr. I was looking for million-pound projects. They were necessary, they would arrive. But I wanted to ensure that the ordinary persons were touched because of my representation and because of my government. And I'm pleased to say, Mr. Speaker, the ordinary person in Swazel and South Africa was touched. You see, electricity, for example, is a basic necessity. Some of us take it for granted. So when we talk about electricity, that is SCOP. Well, electricity, everybody have that. Yes, and that's the point. Everybody ought to have it. But you know, Mr. Speaker, previous administrations did not have the commitment necessary to ensure that all these communities, wherever they were touched or blessed with that modern necessity, electricity. Could you believe it, Mr. Speaker? A number of communities where children didn't have electricity to do their homework, where nobody, ambitious, educated, intelligent, could not use a computer, had no access to the internet, because they didn't have cell phones either. Those basic necessities, Mr. Speaker, like electricity, like water, and like telephones, had to come. And I am pleased, Mr. Speaker, that I can say, as for electricity, there's hardly a community in Swazel that will say we have no electricity. There may be a house or so, because of the nature of buildings and warehouses are, there may not be a house that still needs the phone. These are things that we work on gradually, continually. But not a community. I'm happy to say too that when there are certain houses may not have telephones, communities can boost the telephones. And after all, with liberalization, you know, with everybody switched pocket cell phone, everybody carrying one, you know, telephones is hardly an issue now. What if wherever the corner a telephone exists? Thanks to this government. Water, Mr. Speaker, has its problems. They are wanting most communities with a regularity that is essential, I have to say, and has not been adequately addressed. However, Mr. Speaker, we intend to address them immediately. Those persons, Mr. Speaker, in the areas of Monja, Piga, Akite, Belvi, Akoko, Ramno, Morbush, Mate, Esperance, Warden, persons in those areas will get adequate relief now. Because with the assistance of the Spanish government, the Fosajak water supply system will now be improved with additional tanks. So that the persons in the areas I just mentioned will begin to receive water on a more regular and a more reliable, in a more reliable supply. That, Mr. Speaker, I trust will complete before I can say goodbye to my constituents. Mr. Speaker, as I said, telephones are there, but not in every home. And I have been reliably informed that the landlines that most people ask for because of uses of the internet will be available to most of them. Mr. Speaker, a number of our elderly persons too have benefited. These are some of the invisible advantages that are not regularly seen. You know, you go to your principal's security office and nobody comes to you, I need some welfare assistance. Nobody knows that, but they are assisted they get assistance. At the end of the month, they get a stipend, and are very, very grateful. One of the things we've got to realize, particularly in rural communities, the things we take for granted, people appreciate very, very significantly, you know. I have very, very fond memories of people voicing their appreciation in the most humble manner because a street light has been installed where it was needed for ages. You know?
The honorable member has 5 minutes left to make his contribution.
Can you just a minute?
Speaker, I beg to invoke Standing Order 3210 to commit the Honourable Member for Shrewell as Minister for Physical Development an additional 10 minutes within which to complete his presentation to the Honourable House.
Honourable Members, the question is that Standing Order 3210 be brought to allow the Honourable Member for planning an additional 15 minutes.
Seconds.
To make his contribution.
Seconds.
I now put the question. All those who have a favorable opinion say aye. As many have a contrary opinion say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Honourable Member Lee is granted.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Yes, Mr. Speaker. I just spoke of assistance to the elderly housing assistance. Over the last 4 years, we've had about 12 feet, so we will benefit from that. These, like I said, are the less visible projects. Of course, Mr. Speaker, there are the more visible projects, the bigger projects, so to speak. And of course, roads are one of them. I am pleased to say, Mr. Speaker, the Supreme, the Viewport Highway, has benefited Shrewsdale most. Shrewsdale being right there in the middle. Additionally, Mr. Speaker, the road, some of which are not quite complete, the secondary roads, that is, underway, have meant that the road infrastructure in Switzerland has been significantly improved. We're just completing roads from Lirich all the way up to Delphi. That, Mr. Speaker, I drove on that quite recently, Mr. Speaker. I was impressed. From Lirich to Victoria via Montrouge, that too, Mr. Speaker. We're also looking on the road from Cape way down to Montjac. We have plans to come to do the road from the Pierre Junction to Saltibus. These roads, Mr. Speaker, almost complete, about to be complete, and the Pierre Saltibus route about to be started, are all very, very useful and are a significant addition to our road infrastructure, one I believe everyone will be proud of. The other big project, Mr. Speaker, is the fisheries complex. The fisheries complex is the envy of many, and we are proud of it, Mr. Speaker. I know currently in Shrewsdale there are difficulties with the water, the seawater, and the flow. But I'm reliably informed, Mr. Speaker, that Mirai Construction is reviewing the situation, and the report is soon to be submitted to the Japanese as to how to correct it. The silting, however, which has been occurring, will continue to occur in the meantime. The community of PI, Mr. Speaker, has seen significant development. The program for the rationalization of unplanned development, PROUD, did very, very useful work in PI. Today, the residents of PI, you know, we used to say PI is South PI, that has been rationalized. Residents can now collect their deeds, own their piece of St. Lucia, and make use of it. You know, when you have that piece of paper with your name on it, you can walk to a bank and say, that's my money, give me some. Simple as that. Yes, Mr. Speaker. The small communities, Mr. Speaker, have felt the value of the policies of this government. PLA 2 has seen a new secondary school, and the playing field has been recently worked on, right, improving very much into such an extent that it can now be used for matches, league matches, that are normally held in Chazelle. Mr. Speaker, there have been a number of PR projects in the community as well. The communities of Esperance, of Moguls, in fact, Moguls now has the only elderly person's daycare center, you know, and Lamar have all benefited from these projects. The Saltibus Health Center is now being repaired under the Basic Needs Trust Fund, Mr. Speaker. So the development has occurred. But development, Mr. Speaker, is long and gradual. All doesn't happen at the same time. And the people of Chisholm and other sources recognize that what has been happening is a kind of gradual but consistent development. We hope, Mr. Speaker, we hope that in the fall we can have a decent housing project. And there are lands now available. Some will be sold in lots. Some will be available to have a project, and we hope that can come on stream in the near future. Whether or not I am in Parliament, this is a project I will continue to pursue to ensure the kind of project we look for in Chazelle will occur. Mr. Speaker, there is still a lot to be done. My successor will ensure, and I will ensure that he ensures that this work is continued. He knows it, Mr. Speaker, because we discussed it. The need for more playing fields and multi-purpose centres. And I can see the allocation in the budget this year will allow that to be possible this year. You know, the craft industry in Chazelle, it's another industry dear to my heart. I would like to see a more structured and progressive craft industry, one that can actually benefit from World Cup 2007. Mr. Speaker, in 1997, when I first budget speaks, I took this house on a tour of Chazelle. A sort of touristic tour, you know. I think it is necessary to go on that tour again, Mr. Speaker, but time does not persist. But permit me to say, the closeness of Chazelle to our World Heritage Center means that we can develop a product in Chazelle that will be very, very beneficial to us through the production of our art and to the visitors of this country. And in Saltibus, Mr. Speaker, we have also developed a nature trail that will assist the people of Saltibus as well as the visitors of this country to enjoy the natural beauty of our country. Mr. Speaker, all in all, I say to my constituents that I think that my field of representation was one that I enjoy. I will allow them to judge it, to say how satisfactory or how excellent it was. But I want to assure that when I bow out of elective politics, I will remain a stalwart in the development of Chazelle and Saltibus. And I will do my utmost to ensure that this government, the government of the Central Labour Party, remains in power to continue the good work that has been started, so that the people of Chazelle and of Saltibus and the people of St. Lucia generally will remember that this government will know is the government most suited to the development of this country. Speaker, I thank you.